Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Nick Cave is an American fabric sculptor, dancer, and performance artist best known for his sound suits, wearable fabric sculptures that are bright, whimsical, and otherworldly. In his new work, Until, Cave uses Mass MoCA's football field-sized space to create his largest installation to date, made up of thousands of found objects and millions of beads, which will make viewers feel like they've entered a sensory tapestry, like stepping directly into the belly of one of his iconic sound suits. For the piece, Nick Cave and his curators and assistants have gathered 16,000 wind spinners, millions of plastic pony beads, thousands of ceramic birds, fruits and animals, one crocodile, 17 cast iron lawn jockeys, and so much more. I visited Mass MoCA during the installation of Until, which opened on October 15th and will be on view in North Adams, Massachusetts through early September of next year. Nick Cave and curator Denise Markonish led me through the exhibition. We began by discussing how Until came to Mass MoCA. Denise Markonish.
About 3.5 years ago, I went to Nick's studio in Chicago and met him for the first time. I'd been following his work for years before that and, was noticing a shift in his work. And everybody knows Nick for his incredible sound suits, these wearable sculptures that are also performed in. And I remember being at an art fair maybe about 4 years ago, and I saw a sculpture he had done, which was a blackface cast iron lawn jockey holding a bouquet of like metal and ceramic flowers. And I thought it was, you know, amazing and so provocative. So I called the gallery, Jack Shaman, in New York, and had him set up a meeting for me and Nick. And I went to Chicago and we met, and I remember Nick said, you know, what are you thinking? And I unfolded a plan of Mass MoCA's Building 5, our signature space, which is the length of a football field and 2 stories high. And I said, I was thinking this. and then gave him the challenge to fill it not with sound suits, but to do something else. And then I said, I'm going to leave you alone for a year so you can think about it. And that was the start of it all.
And then while you had that time to think, what did you think and how did it turn into Until?
Yeah, at the beginning, I really wasn't thinking anything. And I think that what all of a sudden sort of came to sort of fruition in terms of the idea was just really what was happening sort of around all of this sort of unarmed black men being shot. And, you know, I was thinking about that in the studio one day. The thought came to mind, you know, is there racism in heaven? And so that really was the beginning of this sort of project. I had taken a film of these wind spinners maybe a year ago, prior to when Denise came to meet with me. And I don't know where it was, and I was like, oh my God, the next show that I do, I want it to be this image of these wind spinners. It just has to. And so, you know, that was the beginning of this project to sort of create this sort of, you know, what we see in our backyards. But then that sort of also brought it closer to home around gun violence and that it is in our backyard. You know, it's closer to us than we think, or, you know, we think that we want to sort of dismiss it. And this, you know, this gun violence and all of this sort of rage is happening in our neighborhoods and city blocks. And we're, you know, we're so in it that we really can't anymore sort of discard what's happening. We have to somehow come together and start having sort of these very sort of serious conversations about that. On one hand, it's about this sort of fantastical sort of dream state, but then at the same time, you're sort of bombarded with a sense of burden, you know, as you walk through the opening of the show.
So you got a couple of the wind spinners.
just a few. Thousands, to be exact.
16,000
wind spinners spinning in front of your face, creating sort of like this glorious sort of wonder. Kinetic sort of forest is what we sort of call it. But, you know, they're made up of you know, the typical wind spinners, but then we also had custom ones made of guns, teardrops, and bullets, and targets. So they're all sort of intermingled within the existing sort of wind spinners. So it's you know, part of it, you want to be happy and excited and like, ooh, ah, about it, but then all of a sudden you're just hit with this really heavy, heavy emotional sense of reality. You know, our worlds are not anymore just filled with joy and we're confronted with difficult issues right now.
There is a performance or conference consultation element of the installation. How did that part get added? There's going to be performances in the space, and you want to have it available for dialogue about the issues you've mentioned before. So how did that become an element of it?
I think the space is the exhibition. I think first and foremost, that's number one. And so within this exhibition, we've created a number of locations for social gatherings, convenings.
Performances. We really want, you know, that very much completes the work. It's a big part of it that this serve as a space where those kind of discussions that Nick is talking about can happen. But that balance of also we want to bring performing artists in here. You know, Mass MoCA is as much a performing arts venue as it is an art venue, and we want to work together on that and bring artists in here who could respond and make work for this space. And we've also invited a number of community groups from the whole region to come here, meet Nick, and to also do a kind of call and response program where they get to meet each other and again, use this space. And it could be for discussion, performance. You know, they could just come here and sit under the spinners or the cloud, which is another element, and just think. You know, we really want people to come back multiple times and see this as a place where they can reckon with all of this.
You know, and how do you create a creative sort of think tank and also a sort of creative sort of haven, a place where you can sort of be safe and to have these sort of conversations? So, you know, it's really about that, to be able to bring people into a space that has been transformed. Allows us to sort of think about how do we operate and what are we thinking about and how do we want to sort of take these ideas and move them forward or sort of come up with creative solutions and things of that sort.
Should we move
through?
We're walking through Until during installation at Mass MoCA with artist Nick Cave and curator Denise Markanish. The exhibition opened October 15th.
So you'll be walking through this kinetic spinning forest. And we really wanted to sort of, you know, the space is the size of a football field. And so it really, for me, I really wanted it to be about this sort of journey from point A to point B, C, D. And on that journey, coming to other aspects of the exhibition, you not only are viewing the exhibition on ground level, but you're at one point in the exhibition, you're elevated 18 feet in the air to then sort of discover this entire sort of crystal scape, which is this sculptural mass that hovers above your head. Again, sort of this sense of elevation and walking up to a higher ground. And what does that mean to be above it all? And to engage in that in terms of as a perspective.
How were the items in this sculptural element selected? How did you choose all of the many things that make up this element?
You know, all of the things that are part of the sort of landscape, typographical, sort of mystical, magical garden, it's stuff that we've collected from flea markets, antique malls. You know, there's 17 lawn jockeys that live within this forbidden garden, and these were collected from people's backyards, mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah. We bought many of them off eBay and had to go and pick them up and hear people tell the stories of why they still had these, you know, really disturbing objects in their family. And, you know, it was eye-opening to think about the fact that these things still exist. And so I always see them as the sort of keepers of this realm. Now they get to be elevated up and rather than subservient.
Yeah, and how do we sort of talk about, you know, these sort of objects that are sort of based around racial consumerism in this way and then sort of reintroduce them into a different way of thinking and operating? So it's really sort of a lot of the materials is, you know, we're sort of taking it out of what would be its original sort of state and sort of renegotiating how we sort of see things. And it really sort of, again, puts us in this sort of space of wonder and appreciation and also this sort of celebratory sort of framework.
Is the amount of any particular element of the exhibition of the show precise, or do you feel it out as you acquire things and then you know when you have the amount that you need?
That's a hard question to answer. You know, it's I think a lot of it is intuitive, and it's really about an emotional feeling of, you know, what does it take for it to really speak in a particular way, to resonate in a particular way. You know, right now we're just sort of working under the crystal cloud and putting thousands and thousands of crystals dangling under there. But, you know, we've thought about four or five different sort of techniques, and it's really finding the one that really is going to be the best solution that really supports the vision, also creates this sort of mood, the feeling, the ambiance of that object. And so, you know, a lot of it is really testing, doing a lot of sampling, and then sort of coming to a decision.
And always erring on the side of getting more. You know, Nick was here for a few weeks this summer working on elements of the upper part of the cloudscape. Because you've never made work at quite this scale before, it was always this really interesting thing of how do we estimate. And, you know, then Nick would do a section. We'd be like, okay, this is what it took to do this section. Okay, we need to get 20 more Afghans. We need to get this many more birds. And so because we've had some time to build the work, that also allowed us to do these tests and to be a little nimble. And, you know, we've made friends with companies who provide us with the miles and miles of crystals. And it's, you know, it's been a sort of fascinating sourcing project.
Yeah, and you know, and again, it's we don't know what it takes until, you know, I can assess as I'm sort of doing sections, and I have a pretty good hand eye when it comes to that. But it's really about, you know, it's not that it's more, it's really about, again, the essence. How do you sort of, why am I traveling 18 feet up in the air? I better be going up there to have an extraordinary experience. So it's really about that in this entire show, that, you know, it's these experiential kind of moments that, you know, we want you to sort of spend time with, to reflect, to ask yourself, what does it feel like to walk? Really, you're walking in the belly of a sound suit is really what this entire show is about. So I was able to think about, like, you know, okay, if I'm not going to do sounds, it's what does that mean? And it's, you know, how do I sort of transfer the essence of that into a space that really speaks about what goes on inside, what sort of gets me sort of excited and you know, my juices running and charged and sort of taking action. So,
and I think it's true. It's never more for the sake of more. It's always more to create this kind of excess that means something. You know, when you get up to, you'll climb these 18-foot ladders to see the top of this cloud, and there's so much stuff up there, and there's so much detail that it almost starts to feel like a kind of garden of unearthly delights. And that makes you, again, think about the spinner forest that you just went through and seeing all of these guns and these bullets. And so the whole time you're sort of, you know, on this pivot point back and forth between being completely delighted and then feeling like, oh my God, this is heavy.
And also, you know, we're working with materials that, you know, a lot of stuff that we sort of discard, we really don't pay a great deal of attention to. You know, we've seen these spinners here and there in somebody's yard, but when it's handled in this quantity where it creates an environment where, you know, we start to look at them with a different sense of appreciation, I think.
Nick Cave Until will be on view at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts through early September of next year.
There are four of these enormous sort of 18-foot ladders that you'll be able to climb up to the top of the crystalscape and be, again, in this extraordinary landscape that is saturated with so much to sort of embrace and take in and to sort of observe. So we really don't know yet what any of it is going to feel like, because it's not 18 feet in the air yet.
It's the forever Mass MoCA. I don't think it's a problem, but for lack of better term, is that nobody ever has the space in their studio to build work at this scale. We don't even have space other than in this gallery to build work at this scale. So it's always this really magical moment where, you know, Nick was here this summer working on sections of this in our shop, in our basement, and now we've turned the whole gallery into a studio and we're really building it. And as over this 5 weeks of our installation, we're making it happen.
It looks like at the top of the ladder, only one person could stand up there at a time, so they have to look into the cloud landscape on their own. Is that important?
Oh, yeah. You will be looking at it one person at a time, but you can also see the other person on the other side, so it becomes this voyeuristic kind of strangeness about it that, you know, you could probably see someone across the way. So it's really about sort of space and territory and positioning, and how do we sort of, you know, establish eye contact, and how, what does that feel like to be up there and you are looking across at your neighbor?
And I think also what happens that moment when those people who saw each other across the cloud, up in the sky, come down and they find this common ground, this experience they've had together, and maybe they don't know each other and maybe they share a look, maybe they start talking, and because they've had this kind of intimate but shared experience at the same time.
And then, you know, as you continue to sort of move through the exhibition on this journey, you'll come to this beaded mountainscape, which is these amazing beaded tarps that are all constructed out of pony beads.
Wow.
And again, really sort of creating first, it's really just how do you sort of create a skin that then is draped over these amazing monumental structures to create then this new form, this new sort of another sort of space of reflection, convening. And as you can see, they've got a number of them hanging already, and you can, you know, we love the fact that from back there, you have no idea that this is even constructed of beads. So part of my studio practice is this is how I build my work. This is the same method that I would approach a sound suit. You know, the crystals. So everything comes out of that same language in terms of making that I apply to all my work. And so then this also becomes another performative space, another gathering sort of space for activities.
Was the amount of space in this gallery initially exciting or intimidating or a version of both when Denise first came to you and said, this is the amount of space that you have for this next work?
I was totally excited about it. But, you know, I was excited because preparation meets opportunity. I've been working toward this kind of opportunity. And maybe 10 years ago, I would have been just sort of had just major anxiety. But I don't know. I came here when the space was empty. And I just laid in the center of the floor. And I was like, yes. And then that's when I have to sort of like, okay, what does this mean? How do I want to sort of take liberty, in charge of an amazing opportunity. Not only was it about what am I going to do in the space, but Mass Mocha is a destination. What does that mean in terms of a project? You know, why am I going to travel across the country to come here? And so I'm thinking about multiple things. You know, I'm thinking about technology. I want the moment you walk in that door for you to pull out your phone and start videoing at that second and tweeting and emailing, texting, like, oh my God, you've got to come and see this show. You haven't even come into the exhibition yet, but that moment that you enter that space is sort of this moment where you know that you're about to have an experience.
We're taking a tour of Nick Cave's new piece, Until, with Nick Cave and curator Denise Markonish. The exhibition opened on October 15th.
And so in addition to the exhibition, there's also going to be a number of walls that will be sort of treated with some amazing sort of wallpaper art, which is going to be, again, in support of the exhibition. But then you will move into then this sort of video installation.
It's a completely immersive space. So as you stand in the room, the video is projected on all four walls and the floor. It's a video of Nick performing in a sort of sound suit. It's a suit that has a chicken, vintage chicken head, and this blackface marionette. And the fact that it surrounds you and there's a kind of agitation in the video, which I think plays off of a lot of the things that Nick is concerned with in this exhibition. Like, this is really this moment to show the kind of urgency that permeates the whole experience.
There's still more.
So we've come upstairs.
Yeah, and so we're up on the second level in the gallery, and then there's going to be an installation titled Flow Blow, which is going to be a waterfall that we've fabricated. And so for me, it's really sort of a moment of cleansing, you know, going through this exhibition that's really sort of very heavy and very sort of loaded, to be able to come up here and to be in this sort of space where it's just going to be this amazing sort of motion that just sort of, it's very subtle, it's quiet, but again, very beautiful to be in front of and sort of see.
And it's all made out of black, silver, and blue mylar, and a bank of fans. And so it will just sort of flutter into the space. So you'll come up here and you'll see it, you'll hear it, and it'll be just like Nick said, this sort of moment where you can think about it all. And of course, on the upper mezzanine in this space, there's also a balcony. So then you can reflect back on what you've just been through before you go back downstairs and go through it all yet again.
And you know, and then as you sort of come to, you know, there's a part of the upper level where you can look over into the main gallery. But the thing that's beautiful is that it's sort of veiled with, again, the beaded mountain tarps. So you'll be able to just sort of see through this sort of webbing material. We're so excited. We can't wait till it's completed. We still don't know what we're looking at, but it feels right.
And we can't wait to see people other than ourselves inside of this and hear what the conversations start to emerge as part of being in here.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Artist Nick Cave and curator Denise Markonish led me through Cave's new work, Until, at Mass Mocha during installation. The exhibition opened on October 15th and will be on view through early September 2017. To learn more, visit massmocha.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.